Well, hey, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. A little energy from the 10:15 crowd. I like that. All right. Well, hey, I'm Chuck Mingo, and it's great to be with you today. I've been coming around Crossroads for about 6 years or so, and serve on the weekends like this, and also volunteer with my wife in our Building Blocks for Marriage group, which is a group for people who are engaged and are walking through the married process. And so for some strange reason, they actually think they might be able to learn something from people who've been married. Believe that. So I do that. But it's just really neat to be with you today. And so Scott said something that I just want to kind of pick up on. He talked about the fact that today we're wrapping up this hard work series. But, you know, for every ending, there's always a beginning. And I'm really excited about a special beginning that's happening today. Just a really special thing that I just want to take a moment to share with all of you, because it's really touched my life in previous years, and I just feel like I just have to share it with people. Because at 8 o'clock tonight, does anybody know what's going to happen at 8 o'clock tonight in Canton, Ohio? Yeah, baby, football season is back! Football season! It is football season, it's preseason right now, but once again, Sundays have meaning. You know, it's like... So I have to tell you, I'm wearing my green because my Philadelphia Eagles are playing the Oakland Raiders tonight. So I got to represent for the Eagles. But hey, when it comes to the AFC, my heart and soul is with the Cincinnati Bengals. So what's up with the Bengals this year? Let's hear it. I'm starting to see the jerseys. I'm starting to see all this stuff. So I want to know, can anybody right now just like take a leap of faith and stand up and say the Bengals are going to make it to the Super Bowl? Anybody willing to step up and say that? Who that? Here we go, right here. All right. Oh, man. That has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. I just had to say it because it's football season. So, but that video is actually where we're going, because for the last 7 weeks or so, we've been in this series talking about hard work. And the series is basically just recognizing that when it comes to spiritual growth, this thing just doesn't exist. Anybody seen those Staples commercials with the easy button? I don't know about you. I would love to have an easy button. Let me tell you how this kind of plays out. You know, 10:15ers, you can recognize this. How many of you were just a little bit late getting out of the house this morning? Just a little bit late. You know? And when you come here, what? All the parking spaces are all gone, right? Wouldn't it be nice if just one Sunday you could just kind of...
That was easy.
Press the easy button... The front space opens up. It's just for you. I mean, wouldn't that be fantastic? You know, I'll tell you where I'd like an easy button. It's been pretty hot lately, and I am kind of acclimating to the process of cutting and mowing a lawn on a regular basis. That's what I'm looking forward to this afternoon. So I would love to be able to just kind of press the easy button right here.
That was easy.
And just know that when I go home, the lawn is mowed. I mean, that for me would really be a special thing. Or I'll tell you another one. I live in this area, but I work up in Mason. So the bane of my existence is exit 19, 71 North. Fields Ertle exit is the bane of my existence. I mean, I try to go a little bit earlier. I'm still waiting. I try to come a little bit later. I'm still waiting. It's just there's always traffic at Fields Ertle. And just once, I'd love to be able to reach over into the passenger seat of my car, press the easy button,
that was easy,
and just have the cars just kind of clear out. And you know what? If I'm honest with you, there are some things in my spiritual life that are areas where I'm digging in on hard work. And those areas of hard work I know will have results. But man, it would be nice sometimes if there was an easy button. But what we've been recognizing in this series is this thing doesn't exist. That if we're going to get to a place of fruit, and if we're going to see the results that God promises for us, there's this process of hard work that we need to engage in. And so for me, one of the most poignant moments in this series was what you saw in the video when Brian used that saw for the first time. And right before he used the saw, he talked about this idea of desensitization to your wound and this idea that you have to go back to the place that's been maybe an area of fear or an area where you've been wounded, and you've got to face that thing so that it no longer masters you. And I've really been resonating with that in the series. And I don't know, it might have been something different for you. It could have been healing, repentance we talked about. We've talked about relationships. We've talked about our dreams. But I think there's probably for all of us one point that just kind of spoke to you. So here's my question. Have you been following up on those learnings? Have you been following up? Yeah, this is the MCI moment where you can hear a pin drop. Because I think if we're honest, for many of us, we left here with great insights, really inspired, but it's tough to follow through. And so what I want to do today is encourage us as we wrap up this journey of hard work. I want to encourage us to actually do the hard work of following through with the learnings that we have. And I want to do that by taking a look at a very simple but profound illustration that Jesus uses in the Bible. And before we do that, I just want to ask that you join me in a word of prayer. God, I just thank you again for how you teach us. And I thank you for the things that we've all been learning in this series. And so, God, today as we wrap up, just encourage us all and help us to see what is the thing that you want us to actually follow through on and really apply to our lives. I just ask that you would teach us all this morning. Amen. Well, as I said, there's this illustration that we find in the Bible that Jesus uses to talk about the idea of following through on our learning. And it's an interesting illustration for Jesus to use. The illustration talks about the difference between a wise builder and a foolish builder. I think it's interesting because Jesus was the son of a carpenter. And so in that time, he probably knew a thing or two about building houses. So this is an illustration that he could kind of bring some, you know, real world expertise to. And so what Jesus does is he draws this illustration kind of using the physical process of building a house, but he's drawing an analogy to what it means to follow through and kind of build our spiritual house. So I want to explore that together. We find this in the Gospel of Luke, which is one of the Gospels of Jesus' life, kind of a biography of his life. And in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, we find these words. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on a ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Very clear illustration here of the wise builder comparing it to the foolish builder. And I think there are three differences that we clearly see between these two builders. Three differences that are the difference between just hearing, kind of the insights that we get in here, and actually following through on those learnings. The first is this. The foolish builder focused on what was unseen. The foolish builder focused on what was seen. The wise builder focused on what was unseen. Seen versus unseen. Now I have to step back for a moment and tell you why this analogy is really relevant to me. About 3 months ago, my wife and I bought our first home, which is a great thing and the reason why I'm cutting the grass every week now. So it is still a great thing. But what you have to understand is we went into this home buying process all wrong. We just really went into it backwards. Because here's why. Before we bought this home, we got addicted to this show on HGTV called House Hunters. Yeah, anybody seen that show? Let me tell you, it's a really great show. It's just a poor way to calibrate yourself to the home buying process. Because in the show, in the matter of, you know, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, I think it's a 30-minute show, what happens is, these people get three houses that they're looking at with this realtor. And, you know, all the houses have some features they like and some they don't. So there's kind of like a house they really don't like. There's a house that's kind of in the middle. And then there's, you know, obviously the house that they really want. So they do that for about 15 minutes. You know, in the show, it takes about 15 minutes to do that. Well, then the next thing they do is they write up the offer. And that takes about 5 minutes. Anybody who's ever been there knows it takes a little bit more than 5 minutes to kind of get that thing right. And the interesting thing about this show is there's never a counteroffer. Never. I mean, they just... So, like I said, poor way to calibrate yourself to the process. But then here's the great thing. In the last 5 minutes of the show, of course, we've got to get complete resolution. So what happens? First, they're waiting by the phone, you know. They're waiting by the phone. They get the call from the realtor. And what do they get? They get the house they want, right? Beautiful thing. They get the house they want. But it doesn't stop there. See, it actually fast forward sometimes 3 months or 6 months later. The house is fully furnished. They've got kids playing in the backyard. It's just a beautiful thing. That just wasn't our experience. Maybe it was yours, but it sure wasn't ours. You see, our experience was this. When we found that dream house, it had some foundation issues. And we had to find out more about what had been done to shore up the foundation of this house. We had to find out the stuff that was unseen. And so what happened was, we realized that the owners, not the ones we bought it from, but previous owners, did a process, an intervention on the foundation of this house. Because what had happened was, they built a garage that wasn't natural to the house. And the garage, the house is kind of on a hill, and so the garage was pulling away, and it was pulling with it the foundation of the house. It was actually pulling the house away. And so they were having all these problems. And so what they did was, they did a process called steel piering. And what steel piering is they take metal beams, and they drive those beams down through the soil into the bedrock of the house. And then they pressurize those beams. It's about 3,000 pounds per square inch. And the guy told me that the average building needs like 1,500 pounds per square inch. So they kind of give you a little bit of extra insurance when they do this process. And so what we learned is that the folks who owned this house made an intervention, and they actually dug down deep so that the house could stand. So now we tell people, you know, if erosion was to really accelerate and all of the soil was to go away, quite frankly, our house might be the only house on the street still standing, because it's on these steel piers now. So as we think about this analogy that Jesus is drawing, he talks about the fact that the wise builder focuses on what is unseen, but the foolish builder focuses on what is seen. And what does that look like in our lives? Well, you know what? Jesus starts this analogy with a question. And the question he asks is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but yet you don't do what I say? What is he saying here? He's saying that it's easy to keep up appearances. It's easy for us to know the right things to say. It's easy for us in this environment to know how to, you know, act the role and play the role out. But what he's saying is, are you following through? It's easy for us to hear information, be inspired, be encouraged, but not necessarily do the hard work of applying and following through. And so what Jesus is saying is, if we're going to be wise builders, and if we're going to really do the things that build results, we need to be focused on those things that are unseen. Those character issues are the things that will define us. I've been thinking about this in my own life through some transitions that I've been going through at work. And for me, what I've realized is, when it comes to tough issues, and when it comes to situations where I feel stretched or where I feel threatened in some way, I can become an ugly person. I can go away from kind of my own stance of personal integrity, and I can get into some places, and I can do some things that are really, really just totally not things that I should do. You know, I found myself withholding information from other people just so I can have an edge in the situation, even though they need that information to do what they do. And I find that in myself, and I'm like, man, you know what? That's the unseen things that only I know. That if I'm going to really go through the hard work and follow through and build on a firm foundation, I really need to get through that. I really need to work through that. And I'm just realizing that these things exist in my life. That I, if I'm going to be a wise builder, need not to just be content with what's seen, but I need to dig deep and I need to really focus on those things that are unseen. So Jesus says that the wise builder focuses on what is unseen. The second difference that Jesus draws between these builders is that the foolish builder focuses on a quick fix, but the wise builder recognizes that it's a slow process to get to growth. The story says that the wise builder dug down deep into the rock to establish a firm foundation for their house. Now, I've never been to the Middle East myself, but I know other people have been there. And so when it talks about this other builder building on sand, one of the things that I know is that it's pretty easy to find sand over there, right? Kind of a lot of the stuff around. So if you want to build a house on sand, you can almost set up shop anywhere, right? Four walls and a roof is what most of the houses were back then. And so it would be very easy to build a foundation on sand. It would be very easy to focus on the quick fix, to try to see if you can create an easy button rather than do the slow process that yields growth. I've been learning about this one a lot in my relationship with my wife. You know, for some reason, one of the hardest things for me to do is to tell my wife I'm wrong. Anybody else struggle with that? If you just felt an elbow in your side, that means you struggle with that. I'll drop a subtle hint to you right there. Brian talked about this idea of repentance. He talked about the fact that in our walk with God, as we're kind of trying to let God be a part of our life and listen to what he has to say, that if we know we're heading in a direction that's against where he wants us to go, we need to do an about face and we need to turn away from that and walk in the direction that he's asking us to do. And what I'm finding is that's what I need to do with my wife, but it's hard. It's hard. And so I find myself sometimes walking over the cliff, even though I know it's not where I need to go. I'll walk over the cliff before I'll say I'm wrong. And it's a slow process to get through that. Or maybe I'm a slow learner. But what I'm learning is I need to make sure that I'm engaged in the slow process of getting that thing right. Another thing that we've been realizing is when it comes to communication with each other, there are some things we need to work through. You know, it's funny because when you talk to people, and particularly when you talk to people at a place like Crossroads or places like a church type of environment, when you talk to married couples, you ever notice how, like, they always talk about, we had a disagreement, we're having a heated discussion, you know? We fight in the Mingo family. We have fights, okay? I don't know what you do, we fight. Not physical, but a lot of times it's like this. Two people having a very intense conversation and making great points in their own mind. Oh man, making great points in their own mind, making a great case, but there's really no progress because we're not listening. And so one of the things that we found, which is a very slow process, but it helps us work through issues, is something that we learned by being a part of Building Blocks for Marriage. And it's this idea that sometimes you need to write your way through a disagreement as opposed to talking your way through a disagreement. So what you do is you take 10 minutes and you write down how you feel. You write down what the situation is that you're going through and you really write it and get your thoughts out. Then you exchange papers and you spend time reading what the other person has said. You're taking in the information in a different way. And sometimes you're at a point after that where you can actually have a conversation. Sometimes you're at a point after that where you need to write for another 10 minutes. It's not a quick fix. It is a slow process. But by engaging in the hard work of that process, we've been able to resolve some issues that would have otherwise just lingered on and on, perhaps for years. And so what Jesus is saying here is that when it comes to the things in our life that are challenging us, areas where we need to grow and do the hard work, the foolish builder focuses on the quick fix, but the wise builder understands that growth is a slow process. And we just need to recognize that. We need to lean into that process. Now, we talked about two things, two differences. The fact that the wise builder focuses on what is not seen, while the foolish builder focuses on what is seen. We talked about the fact that the wise builder focuses on those things that are a slow process versus just settling for the quick fix. And that sounds like more hard work. It is. But here's the encouragement. Because the third difference between the wise and the foolish builder is in the results. It's in the results. You see, the foolish builder has results that have a limited lifespan. But if you're a wise builder, you're going to produce lasting results. Going back to the story, Jesus talks about the fact that there was a storm that came and that there was a torrent, it says, a very severe storm, high winds, pressing rain, beating against the house. And both of the homes were impacted by the storm. But the story says that the home that was built on a firm foundation, it withstood the storm. It beat against the house, but it wasn't able to tear it down because it was well built. But it says that the home that was built on sand, as soon as the storm came, immediately, it beat on the house collapsed, and it says that its destruction was complete. What's the encouragement for doing the hard work that it takes to get through things like healing, to work through a process of repentance, to work through a process of reconciling relationships? The encouragement is this, that when you build on a firm foundation, those results will last. Those results will last. I talked about the fact that for me, probably the most poignant part of the series was when Brian was talking about healing. And he talked about this idea of desensitization. And Brian had a finger injury, for those of you who remember that and know that. And one of the things he said is as his skin grew back, he found that it was very sensitive to the touch. And that things that before wouldn't have bothered him were very, very painful. And so he went to the doctor, and what the doctor said is the only way that you actually get through that is to expose your skin to those things that are painful. And over time, the calluses will build back. And so he gave the example of kind of rubbing his finger against denim and talked about how difficult that was. And then he actually played the guitar on stage for the first time. And so you think about the pain of denim versus the pain of the guitar string. But illustrating the point of desensitization. Well, that hit me. And I remember when he was doing that, I was up there somewhere and I was just like, you know, fighting back the tears and I didn't want to cry in service, but I was crying because it just really resonated with me. Because the wound or the thing that I've been dealing with really takes me back to the journey that many of us started in April when we had our ID series. And for those of you who weren't here for the ID series, what we were exploring is that there are things that define us and there are areas in our life where we draw our identity that are probably not healthy areas to draw that from. And one of the things that came out loud and clear for me is that I draw too much of my self-worth based on my performance, based on how I'm performing. And it shows up really loud and clear at work. And I walked away from the ID series recognizing that, but also realizing that the process is really following through and applying that learning in my life. So what happens? I go right into a desensitization process. Because not too long after the ID series, I switched jobs. And I moved from a job where I had a level of competence and had a level of success into a job that was very new, a job where I didn't have the skills today. It was a gap and I had to close that gap. And it was like, you know, the needs of the business were like yesterday. So you talk about if you're a person who draws your identity from work and then you're put into that situation, man, that's a desensitization process and it has been painful. Let me tell you what this has played out to look like. If I have a day in this job where I've kind of nailed it, kind of did my thing, did what I need to do, hit all those marks. It's a great day. It's a great day. It spills over into everything else. I mean, the birds are singing, the grass is green, there's no traffic on Fields Erdl. It's a beautiful day. Gas prices are lower. I mean, all the kind of stuff that matters, you know? It's a beautiful day, but it's all based on my performance at work. It's all based on whether I showed up and feel like I did what I needed to do. So what that means is when I have a day, and I've had plenty of them, where I feel like I haven't done anything right, or days where, quite frankly, it's not even a feeling, I've made some big mistakes, and I'm working my way through those. Well, if I have a day like that, here's the tape that's playing in my mind as I'm driving away from work. You're such a loser. There's no way you can be successful at this. Why did they even put you in this position? And I'm telling you that that is defining how I identify and who I think I am. I'm taking work and I'm making it my identity. And you know what? The fact of the matter is, if I'm so excited about life just based on my performance at work, or if I'm so down on myself just based on my performance at work, neither of those is a healthy place to be. Neither of them is a healthy place to be. And I'm realizing that the hard work of actually following through and distancing myself from identifying me that way, it's taking its own time. It is a process. It is a process, but if I'm going to have any hope, it's this. The hope is what we talked about. The hope is that if I'm building on a foundation that is firm, then the results, while they may not happen on the timing I want, the results that I have will be lasting results. You see, what I'm realizing is God is a firm foundation on which to build my life. And that's why doing the hard work that God asks us to do is worth it, because the results last because we're on a firm foundation. And that's just really been resonating with me lately. That he's a firm foundation. And that's what I want. That's what I want. And there have been two things that have really been constant encouragement for me as I kind of walk through the process of learning my way through this thing. And one is a verse that we find in Philippians. And Philippians was a letter that was written to the early church. And these words are so encouraging to me. And this is what it says. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. What the writer is saying here is that I recognize, he was writing this to people who were newer in their faith. I recognize that right now, you're kind of in this process where you're trying some things and it feels like you're failing. You're making progress in certain areas and in other areas you might feel like you're actually regressing. But here's what you can have confidence in. Today is not the end of the story. God isn't done with you yet. And you know what this is also saying is that the person who is doing the work in you, the foundation of God, if that's your foundation, you can be confident that that work will be complete. You can be confident that there will be lasting results. And I've been encouraged by that on the days when I feel like I'm regressing. And I want you to be encouraged by that as you work through this process. Because you know what? You can be confident that he who has begun the good work in you will complete it. He will complete it. And I've taken great encouragement from that. The other thing that's been encouraging me is a song. And you know, I guess I was really thinking about this song a lot, and I became even more inspired around this song on Wednesday night. I don't know how many people were here for Michael Dantley and his church, but that was just a great night. And what it did for me is it took me back. It took me back to my roots, and it took me back to being a kid and sitting in church and hearing songs that at the time were just songs. But now when I recall those, they have more meaning. Because I've lived through some things and I've seen kind of where those words came from. And one song in particular is a song that speaks to this idea of building on a firm foundation. And it's a song that was sung by a woman in my church called Sister Louise Fleming. Sister Louise. See, because in the church I grew up in, everybody had a handle on their name. You didn't just call somebody by their first name. It was brother this, it was sister that. You know, I mean, that's just the way I grew up. As a matter of fact, if my grandmother were alive, and she's not, but if she was alive and she knew that I called my pastor by his first name, she would take that cane that she was so adept at carrying and she'd probably whack me upside the head with it. I mean, my grandmom just, she wouldn't go for that. But Sister Louise was one of the singers in our church. And there's a song that she sung that has been just resonating with me. And I just want to ask if it would be okay if I shared that song with you guys this morning. The song is called, I Go to the Rock. And it goes like this. Where do I go when there's nobody left to turn to? And who do I talk to when nobody wants to listen? And who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. And where do I go when the storms of life are raging? And who do I turn to when the winds of sorrow blow? And is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. See, when the earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. And when I need a shelter, and when I need a friend, I go to the rock. And I have been thinking about that. I have just not been able to get that song. Thank you for letting me share that with you. I have not been able to get that song off my mind, and I've been just thinking and rehearsing it over and over again in my head because there is some encouragement for me, and I believe there's encouragement for all of us in those words. You see, I know that for all of us, we're in different places on this idea of hard work. For some of you, you might be facing wounds. You might be facing pain. I don't know what it is for you, but I want to encourage you that if you're here today, and you're struggling with disappointment, you can go to the rock. If this is a situation for you where you've just faced the biggest financial ruin of your life and you don't know how all the pieces are going to be picked up, you can go to the rock. Some of you in here may be facing addictions that you've been struggling with for years and you don't know how you're going to get through it. And I just want to encourage you today that you can go to the rock. For many of us, we're at the beginning of this whole idea of what is God, who is he, and does he even have relevance to my life? And I want you to know that this is a place that you can openly and honestly pursue that. You can ask those questions. And I also know that if you open yourself up to that, I believe that you'll find the rock. And you'll recognize that God is a firm foundation on which to build your life. If there are two things that I want you to walk away from this series with, an encouragement for you to roll up your sleeves and continue to engage in the hard work, it's this. First is that God is a firm foundation on which to build your life. He's a rock. He's a rock. And the second thing is this. God uses the hard work in us to produce great work through us. He uses the hard things. He uses the slow process of growth. He uses the unseen character building moments in our life to produce great work through us. And so wherever you are today, I want you to take encouragement in that. I want you to be confident that he who has begun the good work in you will carry it on to completion. Let's pray. God, those are amazing promises. And you know what? Honestly, when I think about the place that I am now, they seem so amazing, they almost seem unreal. I just ask, God, that you would help us to just recognize what's the next step. What is the next step? For people in here, it may be talking to the person who's hurt them and just saying, hey, you know what? I need to let you know that that was painful. And for them, that's going to be the first step in a process of healing. For others of us, there may be something in our lives that we know we're heading in a direction that's against you, and we just need to turn around. We just need to stop. We need to face in the opposite direction, and we just need to walk away. I don't know what it is for everyone in here, but one thing I know, God, is that you are a firm foundation on which to build our lives. And so as we leave today, I just ask that our feet, as they touch the concrete on this floor, as they touch the blacktop out on the street, that we would just remember that if we're building and doing hard work in you, we are building on a firm foundation. Thank you so much, God. Amen.